The secret, see, it's called right effort. And what is the right effort? The right effort is your practice. It isn't what you do with the ruminating mind. It isn't the egocentric mind. And those, and within this room, we have it. See, and it's okay. All of these things that I'm talking about, this isn't an indictment. See, this isn't pointing out and being critical. This is talking about the level of being a sentient being. See, people will actually miss the point. You have never worked with anything but mind. See, do you understand that? See, some of you think, well, I think a little bit about my mind, then I've got to work with this physical discomfort. Nothing but mind. See, there is nothing but mind. I was talking with somebody today who was working a koan, doing a nice job of working with this koan, see? And seeing each step along the way. See, most people who are trying to get merit badges, see, come in and they try to give this quick be here now thing. Or they want to go into elaborate discussions. See, and if you truly see the koan, if you see the beautiful flow, and there is a beautiful flow, see, and again, and I have mentioned this before, I was so fortunate to be able to work koan with Mizumi Roshi because he had a profound appreciation for the koan. See, most people don't get it. Most people want to stay stuck in their understanding. Your understanding of the koan is delusional. See, in this one koan, see, that Roshi, I had come in, I had worked the koan, and it was a koan that Roshi particularly liked. And he started to talk to me about the koan. And he said, Nyogen, he said, do you see this old teacher? See, an old mama lion or mama tiger. See, and as he starts to walk me through him working with this koan, I begin to see it. He says, you see, oh grandma tiger, oh lips, no teeth, just gums. See, and Roshi's doing, see, and then he said, you see the student come in. He said, young tiger, he said, Nyogen, look at the muscles on the tiger as he comes in. And I'm watching this with Roshi. See, and you can see this young tiger coming in. See, and he's getting ready for his attack on the old master. And Roshi said, see the lips, look at the fangs. He said, white, crystal white. See, these fangs. See, then he attacks the teacher. He said, look at that old grandma tiger. Doesn't even bear the call, just bats him over. And he rolls, see. Comes up again, see, stalking old grandma. And I look up and Roshi is weeping, he's crying, see. And then he says, oh, to have such a student. See, when you can embrace the koan, see, becoming one with the koan, a transformation takes place. See, it isn't trying to explain something. And this is where we're going now, back to Zenki and Roshi's Teisho. Zenki, undivided activity. Do you grasp what undivided activity is? See, people come in and they give me all of these explanations. They tell me about all of these wonderful things that they see these different levels. See, what I would suggest is begin to see the here now before you start seeing all these other levels, because that's simply a game you're playing with your head. Undivided activity, see. And again, we'll start by asking, why are you here? What is your aspiration? See, is it that you want to have a colorful robe? Is it that you want to be on stage? Is it that you like to expound, you want to teach people about it? And then I ask you, what are you going to teach? Vast emptiness? You're going to teach vast emptiness? Well, I know what emptiness is. What is it? See, what is vast emptiness? See, this is an important thing. If you don't see the vast emptiness, if it is a concept, see, but it should be a concept, conceptual, if you can grasp it the way the leading scientific thinkers, see this thing. See, the atoms here, all things are made up of atoms. And when we look into the atom, vast emptiness. Now, they'll say, almost pure emptiness. Then we find, and this is a scientist talking, then we find the subatomic particles. And when we look into them, see, we find vast emptiness. See, and in there, those who are still caught, they think someplace deep in, they will find the material. They never will. As far as they want to look, like Masumi Roshi said, you can look for infinity. See, it's that profound. Vast empty. That's cutting edge science. What does that say about you? What are you? Vast emptiness. See? But don't make the mistake of conceptualizing that. I've had people do that. They'll come in, and this, see, even big name teachers get caught in this. See? One instance that I know, two famous teachers, see, coming out of a movie theater. There's a man lying in the gutter in the street. Today we see them everywhere. Wouldn't be shocking. See, that time, oh! See, the one said, do you feel sorry for that person? And the one well-known teacher said, yes. Yes, I do. The one who was maybe more well-known in some sense said, I don't. See, I don't. It's their karma. See, that's the product, see, of a flawed understanding. See, the basic mind, this basic thing that's here, if you can free it, and what do I mean? If you can allow yourself to drop the picking and choosing mind, it is vast compassion, selfless compassion. See? And this is what Bruce Lipton meant. You can, if you can see what I'm talking about, see, this is the only thing you have to maintain. But it has to be maintained selflessly. You can turn this into a Garden of Eden. It'll take courage, see, because you'll think you're going to lose something. But the beauty of the practice is you can test it. Test it. Sort of feel your way along, and you will find that it never fails you. You can transcend. You can move beyond the limitations of our discriminating consciousness. And in this next part of this undivided activity, undivided, do you get what undivided actually means? See? Dogen says, the meaning of aspiration for enlightenment is to endeavor without ceasing in body, speech, and thought to help all sentient beings arise the aspiration for enlightenment. Misread, that puts me on the stage. I want to teach all of you out there. See, that's not what he's talking about. See, how do you bring all suffering sentient beings into a place of sanctuary? I've told this story millions of times, and people don't get it. Roshi standing in the psychiatric unit with me wasn't doing any phony posturing. And it was like a magnet drawing metal filings to him. Why? The basic part of this, the essence of this very mind only is compassion. Compassion radiates out. Compassion heals. Compassion, see, compassion embraces. See, it takes away suffering. See? And more importantly, see, it begins, see, to cause all things to flower, to begin to see there is a possibility. There is a way out of the pain and the suffering. There is a way out of my fear, see, and most importantly, it isn't a path that's hidden from me. See, it's manifesting here now. See? And Roshi goes on to read, "This being so, the undivided activity of birth and death is like a young man bending and stretching his arm, or it's like someone asleep, searching with his hand behind his back for the pillow. This is the realization in vast, wondrous light." How many, I don't know how many of you have ever read this particular fascicle, but this particular paragraph, did you get it? Did you follow it? He said, "This being so, the undivided activity of birth and death." Birth and death is occurring now, continuously now. See, birth and death. We've gone through this over and over again. How many times has birth and death occurred since I uttered this last statement? You couldn't count it. See, almost infinitely fast, whatever that means. And one of the finest analytical thinkers, and I go with him on this one because I'm not, see, he said, "You can't even imagine this." But some of you do. Some of you actually sit there, "Well, I can imagine what he's talking about." No, you're just playing in the fields of delusion. You're playing in the sweet grasses. See, and not only playing in the sweet grasses, you're rolling around in them. See, at the side of the road, and when everything else moves on, you are still there playing in the sweet grasses. And then what do? They start to brown, they start to curl up, they start to decay. You reach old age, and you're in here, crowding into here, and those sweet grasses, see, that you thought were so wonderful. You never got the perfect partner. You never got the perfect job. You never got to be the richest person in the world. And all you are is old, getting sick, and you're going to die. Those are the sweet grasses they try to warn you on. See? "This being so, the undivided activity of birth and death," the undivided activity, "is like a young man bending and stretching his arms." Have you ever watched them? Not a young man. See, gender free. Dogen is talking also to a gender free audience. Yes, in the monastery. But he had enlightened women students. And they say the one Myojin? See, we don't hear because it's a male dominated society. It's a patriarchy. But Dogen didn't see it that way. See? And she was considered Myojin. I should look that up. Mushoka looked that up when she was in training. See? And the teachers of that time said she was absolutely brilliant. And they don't bother to tell you that she may have been the one that did the editing of the Shobo Genzo. And she may have been the one who took care of him as he was dying. You don't hear that. Gender free, if you see this most amazing thing. "This being so, the undivided activity of birth and death is like a young man bending and stretching his arms, or like someone asleep, searching with his hand behind his back for the pillow." Did you get that? Bending and stretching. You never sleep. Have you ever watched a child sleeping? Your child sleeping? See, and you'll see they in their sleep, they do these movements. Dogen said, "This is realization, a vast, wondrous light." Did you catch that? Did this seem like a throwaway paragraph? See? Now Roshi picks it up. He says, now he makes a simple analogy. A simple analogy. Bending and stretching. Which is which? Bending and stretching. Which is which? Where and how do you divide one from the other? Are you following Roshi here? Because this is delicate. See, very refined. See, you can't use, see, the meat cleaver of your conceptual mind to grasp, see, the very essence of this. See, in a way, it's divided and yet not divided. The bending and the stretching. Where do you divide it? Altogether, it is nothing but one activity. the continuation of one activity in one way or another. Or, he says, it's like someone asleep, searching with his hand behind his back for the pillow. We do that sort of thing without being conscious. Now he's putting his finger on this. If you can follow him. See, we do that sort of thing without being conscious, without knowing what we are doing. That's the whole point. This is Roshi. That's the whole point. When we become conscious of something else, that's the indication that there is a problem. See, Roshi, I can remember him talking with me on this and discussing this, and he said, you know, Nyogen, you're never conscious of your stomach unless you have a stomach ache. He said, there's always, the moment you become conscious of it, there's a problem. Are you following this carefully? When you look out here and you're constantly judging, in our ongo, there's something wrong. Not with the ongo, but with you. With you. See, there is something wrong. The moment you work into that consciousness of I, there is something wrong, there is a problem. Roshi said it in another way. He said, no matter how brilliant, see, you can be an absolute full-blown genius and benign. You just want to do good. But so long as you haven't freed yourself from that I, you will always cause problems. Always cause problems, see? He says, do you see that? Do you see that? See, it is not only of an indication of a problem. That's the problem. And human beings are experts at creating problems. He said, it's an interesting thing about this knowing and not knowing. There are all kinds of knowing and not knowing. And he said, we have that famous koan with Bodhidharma and Emperor Wu. Now, about the time Doman's here, about that, this was in 1992, 93. See, and Roshi in 93, he is so much different than when some of these talks were in the 70s. You are now looking at a mature Zen master. But still, at this point in this koan, you know how long we've been working on it, then Roshi would say, but that reminds me of a koan. Do you remember going, oh God. You knew we're off now into another journey. Sometimes if I was right there with him, didn't miss a beat. But oh boy, when he said, that reminds me of a koan. Oh God, no. Please don't let him remind himself of a koan, see? He said, we have that famous koan with Bodhidharma and Emperor Wu. The emperor asked Bodhidharma, what is the primary point of the Buddha's teaching? Bodhidharma says, vast sky, utter clarity, no holiness, nothing special. Earlier in this text, Dogen Zenji says, the entire earth and the entire sky. That sky is quite often as expressed as empty space. So Bodhidharma's reply is said to be vast emptiness, no holiness. Now in the beginning here, Roshi gives you probably the actual translation. See, vast sky, utter clarity, no holiness, nothing special. As you look out here, see, bring yourself back, see, from the fantasy in your head, even hearing these words. Bring yourself back to where? The only place you have ever been. Here. See, now. And this is not a concept of the here and the now. This isn't something that you can know. See? But let's see what he has to say. See, so Bodhidharma reply is said to be vast emptiness, no holiness. And the emperor didn't understand. How many people in here understand? See? The emperor asks further, who are you? He means, aren't you the holy man from India? Bodhidharma was nearly 100 years old. He said, and Roshi really would get into these things. Meizen probably edited out a lot of stuff around this because he would really get into stuff like this. He said, what a remarkable thing that he could make such a hard travel at that age. Anyway, and he would wander off, and they said, well, anyway, and bring you right back. He answers, no, not. See? Now, some of you know, when I was going through these cons, and at first we didn't have anybody doing anything but sort of the typical intellectual translation. When I first started working with the Bodhidharma koans, see, I don't know, is the way scholars, because they do not understand, they have not had the experience, they have not moved beyond conceptual understanding. Conceptual understanding is dualistic, it causes pain and suffering, and the best we can say for it is use it, if they've tried to be accurate, as a pointing finger, to move beyond the words and phrases, but you have to go through the words and phrases, and some of you know in here, working with it, you don't want to do that, so you simply come in the door and say, be here now, what can I tell you? I just wish you could. Too subtle? See? This, and here's Roshi, this, no not, brings up the translation problem I pointed out with the passage about the boat. See, and this is what was so remarkable when you were in a place where you could study with Roshi, could work with Roshi. He could read, although he'd always say, I can't read it. On one occasion when I brought something up with the Chinese things in it, but it was by another author that shall go unnamed, but was very famous. See, Roshi said, let's use this other thing. He said, oh, Nyogen, really, I don't understand those Chinese words. Yes, he could. He could read it. And yearly, he loved the Chinese form of poetry. And I had the book here, Mushoku, remember looking, that he wrote every year a poem in honor of his father. And he wrote it in the Chinese. He loved this, see. And this was, he was very much a scholar. He loved to study. And he was extremely bright, as is the whole family, see? But he had problems with translators, and translators who were missing rather critical points. And this is what made working with Roshi such a treasure, because you could very quickly, particularly he'd called me in a couple of times, and he would have me sit beside him when I would have a text that I had taken from some other source, and he would lay his text down, and we would go through it line by line, and you didn't have to go through many lines to very quickly see what Roshi was talking about. And here he says, the translation reads, you ride in the boat. Dogen actually uses I, not you. See, and it comes to this not knowing. He's going on. He said, Dogen actually uses I, not you. And in an important text like this, how could the subject be changed from I to you? Do you understand? That's what I just tried to demonstrate just a few moments ago. We can talk, we can go off into your delusional mind, talking to yourself, projecting out all sorts of things, and I say, here. See, it's I. See, now here I can say you, because I want you to see that this is about you. And for you, it is I, and I alone. See, that's a punchline to it. I and I alone. I'm holy. See, what an amazing thing. See, I, not you. It is in an important text like this. How can you change the subject from I to you? He said, that fascinates me. Perhaps in English, it is more natural to use the subject you, or maybe... And Roshi did not like to be critical. Or maybe it is because of this particular translator. In this case, Bodhidharma speaks with no subject. No person is indicated. Of course, it's understood. But understood in what way? Are you following Roshi here? Is Bodhidharma saying, I don't know? And when I first went through the one aspect of this koan, that's what I told Roshi. And I had never read it. I said, Roshi, Bodhidharma did not say, I don't know. And he agreed with me. See, he agreed with me. He would never say, I don't know. See, there's no subject. Maybe, is he referring to the emperor that you don't know? Or maybe he's referring to somebody else. Or maybe he means nobody knows. So when we translate it, we can't just say, I don't know. It just says, no, not. And Sakita, who I think is particularly conscious of the translations, he translates, and some of you know this, some of you have actually put that spin on the coin from what I've told you. See, he translates, he says the characters actually are translated in English as no knowing. And that works for me. What's in front of me? No knowing. Wake up. See, no knowing. See, he's giving a specific instruction. See, he's telling it just as it is. He says, it just says, no, not. Just the unknowing state. The unknowing state. See, that unknowing state is the state that Dogen Zenji is talking about when he says, although not one, not different. Although not different, not the same. Although not the same, not many. In other words, you can't specify it. Because when you do, that is what restricts and limits it. See, it's this place, see, of not knowing. I come at it from a slightly different. I come out, now Roshi is working here. He's working in concepts. He's working with words and letters and phrases. See, we have to do that. The Buddhas used words and phrases. But the fact of the matter is, if you cannot see beyond that, if you can't move beyond the conceptualization of whatever it is, you're just trapped in dualistic thinking. You don't know this place of no knowing. See? And that worries us. See, and some of you argue with this in your head. I say some of you, I sure as a hell did. I argued with this in my head, I argued with this in my head over and over and over. See, and I told you, Roshi once said to me, this wasn't when I was beginning, I was well along the way. He said, Nyogen, he said, your mind is like big iron gears. Have you seen these big gears where the teeth all go in here? Clang, clang, clang. He said, you know, I can throw rocks in there. And he said, you'll just chew on them. And it was true. And it's painful. Or at least for me, it was painful. I got so sick of chewing on it, see. Wanting to free myself, see, from that illusory kind of thinking. See, to move into the stillness of now. See, the place of no knowing. And the great Fa Yen, and again, I don't know why I have such an attachment to Fa Yen. Just a few little things I have, but there's something karmic about it. See, and just every once in a while, one of his statements will pop up when you just need it. See, and what does Fa Yen say about this place of not knowing? See, because we all panic, not knowing. Some people think it means walking into walls. Some people think it blanks out. He said, this place of not knowing means to know everything perfectly. Oh, I can't believe that. That's what I said. We've got astronauts circling the moon. We've got to do this, we've got to do that. You see, this was in 1992. You figure when the guys were up there moving around, see, I'm working in my head on that stuff. See? But again, where are you? Are you caught in a fantasy? Do you want to believe in your fantasies? Go ahead! See? Now you're functioning in divided activity. And we know what the result is. Pain and suffering, old age, sickness and death. He said, the unknowing state. See? In other words, he said, you can't specify it because when you do, that is what restricts and limits it. Such realization, such manifestation of undivided activity can't be defined by knowing or confined by knowing. Did you hear this sentence? I think I have screamed the same thing, or probably not with the precision, the clarity of Roshi, but certainly in the dimness of my sight, I can see this. Did you hear? See? Such realization, such manifestation. See, not conceptualization. Such manifestation of undivided activity can't be confined by knowing, regardless of how fine the knowing is. And we know that. That's why it is expressed in such a way. He goes on here to say, and this we're concluding with, he said, I barely finished it. Tomorrow I'll talk about the absolute and the relative, whatever it means. Please enjoy yourself and really appreciate your life in such a way as Dogen Zenji talks about. That's what I mean. Have trust in yourself. That's what he means too. Have such faith and clarity and live it. Thank you very much.